Be uplifted, be inspired. This is Step Forward and Volunteer.
Welcome to the latest episode of the popular Step Forward and Volunteer podcast, brought to you by Lions Clubs British Isles. My name is Samantha Boffin, and I'd like to thank you for tuning in. If you haven't listened before, our aim is simple. We want to celebrate the positive difference volunteering makes to communities across the British Isles and beyond. To do that, we'll be speaking to those who give up their time to help others, inspiring more people to step forward and volunteer. This month on the podcast, we hear from Fiona Riley, a member of Hawley Lions. Last year, Hawley Lions set up Warm Over Winter campaign, working in partnership with a range of organisations to support families who are struggling due to the rise in food and fuel costs. We also feature John May from the Burt Mason Internet Lions, who has been actively working on the Lichfield and District Talking newspapers for 41 years. John talks about what this vital service means to those that are blind and visually impaired. But first, I have a favour to ask. We would like your help in getting the word out about Step Forward and Volunteer. Tell your family, tell your friends, and if you're a Lions member, why not let other members of your club know about the podcast and how easy it is to listen? All you need to do is either go onto the website www.lionsclubs.co, where you'll see a link to the podcast, or you can search for Step Forward and Volunteer on apps like Spotify, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. You can listen on demand or subscribe so that you never miss an episode. We publish a new programme on the second Wednesday of each month, and we are really keen to spread the positivity and get as many people tuning in as we can. Now, let me introduce our first guest, Fiona Riley from Hawley Lions. Thank you for joining the Lion Podcast, Fiona.
Hi, Sam.
So, can you tell the listeners, Fiona, what made Hawley Lions get involved at the Warm Over Winter campaign, and what's it all about?
Yes, of course. Thank you for having me on today. Really excited. And yes, we share what we're doing on the Warm Over Winter campaign, which I have to say it has been a great success for us, and really pleased about that because it's all help for the community. Warm Over Winter, that was the name we came up with. for WOW, we could shorten it to WOW, which we thought would give it a bit more impact. But the Warm Over Winter campaign actually started last year, where one of our members came to my husband Alan and I. We're both Lion members, and he said, one of the other Lions clubs, I think it was the Farnham one, he said, they've got this project, Wentlessness, he says, and it's targeted at those people who receive the winter fuel allowance but don't necessarily need it and want to donate it, because a lot of people were actually saying that to the Lions clubs, how can I actually donate my allowance? So that's where the idea came from. So one of the other Lions clubs was actually targeting that, and we looked at it and thought, do you know what, let's expand it, let's change the name of it so that it's not just seen as a one time of the year where you could do the actual campaign. Let's change it a bit and actually target everyone who wants to donate. And if we explain about the Warm Over Winter, what it is we're trying to achieve, which is raising money to help those that, you know, are having to choose some of them between heating and eating, and we didn't want that. And as you know, last year, energy prices were, you know, increasing terribly for families. And we decided that let's look at how can we actually raise money around this. And as a club, we have some very strong supporters of the club, sponsors that we work with for years. And we actually came up with a marketing campaign then to promote it, to say, right, how much can we actually raise here? And we created posters, and one of our key sponsors, I'll name him actually, Keymex, he's a great sponsor of the Hawley Lions. we met up with him, Richard, he's lovely. We told him all about the campaign. We said, look, this is what we want to do. You know, he said, yep, you're right, brilliant idea, let's do this. So we created the banners, and we then said, right, we need to think about doing a Just Giving page, because people can then donate online if they want to. And we built our campaign around that. We also put all the information up on our website. We did all the social media, the Twitter, the normal, you know, the Facebook. And then through, it was actually through the banners, because you can't just put banners up anywhere. but people loved it. we had to speak to then Reigate and Banstead, because we wanted to put them up round about our towns, or Horley, Redhill, Reigate towns. And so we discovered the Reigate and Banstead community development team, and we got chatting to them and told them what we were doing. And they actually said, do you know what? We've been trying to do this, and we've actually got some money in a pot that if we support you with this, because you're doing something that we can't do, which is you've got people on the ground from the Lions willing to actually, you know, help people face to face, whereas we struggle, you know, to have the manpower and resources to do this. So actually, if we give you the money that we've got in our budget, would you then, you know, help us spread this into the community? And we said, yes, absolutely. So then we worked really closely with the community development team. It was great. It then expanded out into speaking to Horley, the Churches of Horley Food Banks, and also the Food Club and that operate in Horley. And those are the areas and the places where we actually then based ourselves, because this is where it's all referrals, these people that are referred to the food banks and to the food clubs. So, you know, we know that these people do need help, and we do the food club and the food bank, because you get the different demographics. So you're targeting the young families at the food banks, and then at the food club you're targeting the elderly people. So last year, you know, it was great. We raised over £8,000, and that was a combination of donations from the Lions events that we do throughout the year, donations from people going online and giving donations on our Just Giving page. And then we had donations from Reigate and Banstead, the community development team, as I said. And then we also had a donation from the Church of Holy Food Bank. You know, they wanted to support the communities as well. So we said, yes, that's great. So £8,000 last year was what we raised. And we spent that over a 16-week period. And we just based ourselves actually down in the food club and the food banks. So how it actually works is, so you will have people come in, because people will have different ways that they obviously pay for their gas and electric. So what happens is you will have people that might come in with a gas card or and an electric key. So we have the keys and the card. And then you might have people that are on direct debits. So then you have to look at who their energy provider is that they're using. So we've got a whole list of all the different energy providers. We can then hand that off in the evening to our treasurer and our secretary, who then, you know, would approve those payments. Because we have a separate WOW bank account set up as well within the Lions. So we separated that out so that all of our money and donations for a specific, you know, payments comes out of a specific bank account.
That's amazing. So it's a really collaborative venture. So you've been able to bring all these different strands together to create something, you know, really powerful, actually. That's amazing.
Yeah. And so last year we helped 86 households, which was a total of 236 children and adults.
So this was actually set up originally last year, where actually things didn't look as bleak as they look this year. So you had everything in place.
So the good thing was, you know, I'm so pleased that we did actually set it up last year, because it put us on a great footing for this year when things are really awful for families. I've also been on BBC Surrey Radio. James Cannon has asked me on a couple of times. So this year has been great. This year has been so exciting because of all the work that we've done with all the marketing campaigns and all the social media and all the activities. We've actually had, and they want to remain anonymous, but, you know, we have had some lovely big donations to the WOW campaign for this year. So much so that, you know, we've actually, through our own work that we do as the Lions, raising money through events and also money from these very generous donators, we actually now have £20,000 this year of donations. Oh. And also what we did this year is we wrote off to, for example, the Tesco Community Grant scheme that they do, you know, the blue token.
Yeah.
It looks like we've won that vote. So again, we'll be putting money towards our campaign, and I'm due to get notification of that in the next week or so, and we'll do a big press release around that. And then we also wrote off to the Community Foundation for Surrey, and they believe that they found us a donor as well for another £5,000. So I'm just waiting to hear on that as well. So there's different ways this year that we tried to raise the funds. You know, we've written off to other areas, and we work with other organisations such as the Henry Smith Charity, and they as well have been helping us also spread the word, if you like. So again, it is through referrals. We did a promotion this year, actually. It was the World Teachers Day, and the Horley Lions went round all schools and presented them with lovely orchids. And as part of that message, we've actually now informed all the local schools that, you know, if they know of any families that need any help, then please, you know, this is where we are on a Wednesday and a Friday every week, and we'll be there for the next 16 weeks. We do 2 hours on a Wednesday, and we do 2 hours down the food club on a Friday morning and 2 hours down the food bank on a Friday afternoon. So they've got the opportunity to come and see us. And as I say, we put money directly onto people's cards. It goes directly onto their energy bills there and then. I mean, I've had people come in to me and say, Fiona, that's great. I can now go home and have a shower and put my heating on. Thank you so much. Because if they've got the cards, we take them down to the post office and money goes on to that card straight away.
Wow, that's incredible. So not only are you able now, through going through the schools who know where maybe the people who really need help are, but when they come to the food banks, they can have their energy accounts topped up almost there and then.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah, if they've got the cards and the keys, it happens instantly. If they're paying by direct debit, then it will take a few days, because we obviously have to, then that goes through the Horley Lions treasurer and our secretary just for approval. And we don't always say a set amount, because it depends on if there's quite a big family or there's disabilities in the family, or and that gives us an indication then of how much we can help them. But to say, we start off really not with big, huge amounts, because actually this year we believe that, I mean, already we know we're seeing, you know, more than double that we saw last year.
Yeah, I was going to ask that if there are so many more people who need this kind of support.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. We just know. So we're trying to just balance, you know, and make sure we're not giving out too much too soon. And we want to try and, especially new people that haven't come to us before or we haven't seen before. It's going well. We really enjoy it. We meet, you know, a lot of very nice people, and it's very rewarding what we do with the Lions.
And presumably you see the same people every week or every month?
Yeah, you do sometimes. And then sometimes you might see them and then they'll say, oh, you know, I've got a job interview. And then you think, oh, good luck then, you know, I hope you get it. And then you might not see them again. You know, so it varies as well. You know, sometimes you see them 1 week, 2 weeks, and then you won't see them again. But the referrals, how it works is, I believe they're referred to for a period of time, the families. So they might get a 3 week referral by the Citizens Advice, for example, to come down to the food bank.
It makes a big difference then, you know, have a hot meal, to be able to warm the house. These are really important things that
definitely
they're enabled to do.
Yeah, no, you know, it's just so lovely, because they're so, you know, they say, oh, thank you so much. Truly rewarding.
I bet. No, absolutely. And do you yourself at Horley Lions, do you need to raise more funds all the time, or are you always kind of outward looking?
We're always looking at ways to raise funds. I mean, we do our events throughout the whole year, so we allocate a certain amount of funds to the WILD campaign. But we also look at other ways that we can raise, you know, donations. To say, we know that the Reigate and Banstead community development team will be, you know, providing some funds for us. I'm just waiting to hear from the Community Foundation for Surrey. We know that there's some other companies and local businesses that want to donate. And we had a lady who came in at the food bank the other day and said, I love what you're doing. How can I donate to you? You know, and there's all different ways, you know.
That's the incredible thing, is that you've got people, you've got companies who can raise funds, but also individual people are coming in and donating, you know, what they can to help support other people. It's wonderful.
And they can do it all online if they want to, or they can send us a cheque, or, you know, they can do it however they want. You know, they can donate any way it's all available to them. So we're really grateful. And I just think that, you know, it's getting more and more. The awareness of the campaign is really heightened, you know, because of all the social media we've done. We've worked with all the different local publications as well. We work with RH Uncovered and Streetwise, which is our little local RH magazine that goes out A5 size. And we know that that goes to 14,000 households and
wow.
Yeah, in our area. So that's great. And they kindly, and again, you know, we're not charged for this, which is great because they love what the Lions do. They provide us with a full page, you know, coverage just about every quarter. And we put in, you know, our advertising about the Wild campaign in there and our events.
What a huge amount of effort and energy on your part, though, actually, to actually reach out to all these different people, all these different ways of getting the word out there. I mean, that's incredible that you've done that.
It's just great. One of the churches of Horley so said they wanted to do a video, and we stood outside the food bank, and we made a video with him, actually, again, talking about the campaign. And he's going to come, actually, he's coming tomorrow again to do an update video. I know, which is great. So then what he does is he puts that out across all the churches, and believe it or not, I don't know how it got to Australia, but we were seen in Australia last year.
So what advice would you give people if they wanted to do a similar kind of thing?
Getting, you know, in front of all the local communities. I mean, we work closely with the Horley Community Centre, the manager there, working with your local councillors. We know all our local councillors who support us as well and put up all their posters and banners and help us with that. And then obviously social media plays a big part nowadays, as you know, Facebook, yeah. Twitter, they're massive, and just even just giving's a good platform to raise awareness and funds, you know, because a lot of people do that. But even you'll notice now that they're doing PayPal giving. Now you can do through PayPal. So we're looking at, you know, signing up for things like that. It's really easy now. So I just think constantly tapping into whatever channels you can, you know, speaking to your local magazines and just being in front of people all the time, you know, and just making them aware of what you're doing through your events is the best way as well. We always promote everything that we do, and we're very visible. I think being visible in the community is the key thing, you know, through just letting people know. I mean, when what we do is after we do our events, we then do a lot of PR around the donations that we do. So I've got a whole catalogue of, you know, pictures that I keep and put up on social media where we're donating throughout the year to other, you know, charities and organisations. And again, when you go and visit those people, you're also talking about what you're doing with the other campaigns and the other organisations that are also supporting the local communities, I think is the way that you get your profile raised, you get the visibility, and you get the message out there that, you know, this is what the Lions are doing. Because that's what we're about, you know, we serve, and that's what we want to do. It's serving the communities, and this is a perfect way of doing it, to be honest.
Thank you so much, Fiona. Thank that was well. So interesting. Yeah, and something other people can really get behind as well, both your actual campaign, but also other campaigns like it.
Yeah.
You know, that's incredible. Thank you so much.
No, thank you, Sam. That was great.
For more information about the Horley Lions Warm Over Winter campaign, please visit www.horleylions.org.uk. It's time now for a short break. We'll be back after this.
Never miss an episode of Step Forward and Volunteer. Listen via lionsclubs.co or subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google Podcasts.
Our next guest is John May from Burt Mason Internet Lions, who joins to tell us all about the Talking News and how vital this service is to the blind and visually impaired within our communities. Hello, John.
Hello.
How long have you been involved in Talking News, and what started your involvement, John?
A complete accident started me. It was 41 years ago, and I was a member of the local Lions Club, and I went to go and tell them that I can't go to the meetings for a while I was setting up this business. And it was just a pure coincidence when I walked in to the reception there was a blind man there with a guide dog, and he said to me as I went past, "Are you in the Lions?" I said, "Yes." He said, "What you're doing is fantastic." I said, thank you very much. And then I went to the meeting. I'd missed the previous meeting because of work. And they said, oh, well, we've looked at starting a talking newspaper and we've decided we can't afford to do it. And I said, excuse me, there's a blind man downstairs getting very excited. Does he think we're going to do one? They said, well, he was in the bar when we went and talked about it, but they told us it would only cost £1,500. This was 1981. And they said, we've looked at it and it's actually going to cost £4,500. We haven't got that kind of money. So I said, no, we've made a promise. We've got to keep it. And so I contacted the mayor and I said, would you hold a public meeting? And we'll invite every service organisation in the town, which we did, Rotary Roundtable, Towns Women's Guild, Sir Optimists, everybody.
Wow.
And we invited blind people as well. And they said how vital it would be to them. It got very emotional, the meeting did. Mm. And I said to them, there's too much emotion involved. I want you to make the decision in the cold light of day when you've thought about it. But the Lion president stood up and said, well, we have thought about it. We'll give you £1,500. Well, I got the Rotary there and the round table. They couldn't have that. So I came away with the £4,500.
Amazing.
And we've been doing it ever since.
Oh, what a great story. Well,
just a total fluke that that man was there.
Yeah, yeah. And then that's all before the internet, for being able to contact people in other ways. You yeah. actually just went out and got everybody involved.
Yeah.
Amazing. So how many talking news services like this are there in the British Isles, would you say?
I think we may have lost a few during the pandemic, but I believe there's still over 500, probably about 520.
Wow. So 500, 520 across the British Isles?
Yes.
That's incredible. Wow. So you were saying that how important it was to blind or partially sighted people. So can you give us a bit more background on that? What does this service mean to your listeners?
Well, it's the two expressions that we hear the most. You are a lifeline and you are the friend that lands on our doormat. And what people don't realise is how many blind people there are in the country. You don't see that many. You may see the odd person with a guide dog or with the white stick, but if they are hanging onto somebody else's arm, you might not be aware that they've got a sight problem. But in the main, they stay where they feel safe, which is at home. So they become isolated because they're staying at home. They outlive their family. They outlive their friends. And they become very lonely. So we give our listeners 21 hours a week. So they've got 3 hours a day where they can listen to friendly voices, might even be listening to subjects they're not really interested in. But they're listening every day, you see. And since we started doing that, the reaction has been fantastic.
Wow. So did they get news every single day on their doormat, as it were?
No, we send a week once a week weekly. With 21 hours on it.
Wow.
So that they wait till the next one comes. We have three in each person's name. And it's a totally free service. They don't pay for the equipment to play it on and they don't have to pay postage. That's items for the blind, postage free. If we had to pay the postage, we wouldn't exist very long.
So each individual person has three USB sticks that are always on the move, as it were.
Yes.
So there's one being recorded, one in the post, as it were, and one,
I'm a spare.
One yeah. with them.
Yeah.
That's just brilliant. So, and they get the local newspapers, yeah?
Yes, they get all the local newspapers. And I remember one day it was a nurse doing home visits, and she said to me, I can't do my work on a Friday because they want to talk about what they heard in the talking newspaper. And they're better informed than anybody because we skip by and they listen to everything, you see.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I'm sorry about that. And she says, you don't understand. Before that, they never used to speak at all.
So we
just opened them up. So
that's just incredible. And to find out, you know, 21 hours of finding out what's in your local community, what's happening. Presumably, a lot of these people have lived in that area all their lives.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every talking newspaper is different. But what we don't do is put in births, deaths and marriages, because you get the deaths and somebody saying, oh, I'll beat them. And we had a very unfortunate situation once where we sadly read the death of a man with a very strange name. So there was no mistaking the name. He'd passed away. And we were all very upset. He was quite a character. And then about 3 weeks later, I saw him in the street. And I said, you do realise you're dead, don't you? And he said, no. He said, do you know, in the next road to us, there was a guy with the same name.
No.
Yeah. And I said, oh, we can't take chances like that. So we stopped doing it.
Yeah, I can kind of see why that happens. Yeah. So with your locally, for the Lichfield Talking News is your local one,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So how often do you record locally? Do you record it all in one go?
Yes.
How does it work?
We record every Thursday. Because the actual newspaper ceased at the start of the pandemic and was replaced by an online service called Lichfield Live, we're able to download the news on a daily basis. So that takes pressure off on the Thursday. So we build it all up over the week. And then on a Thursday evening, we get the readers in and they read it all out. And then we make all the copies that we need to. And then we get them to the post so that they can get them as quickly as possible.
So you tend to send them out, what, on a Friday? Is it that quick?
Some of the listeners will receive it on the Friday and the rest will receive it on the Saturday.
Wow. And how many readers do you have?
I try not to have more than four, and they come once every 3 weeks. So the listeners have got three separate teams that they listen to. They're all different. Almost every listener has said to me at some stage, it's such a thrill when you're walking through a supermarket talking to somebody and a hand reaches out and says, I know your voice.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Gosh, those voices themselves become really well known to
the
listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because everybody's different. And
yes.
Yeah.
And so nice, actually, as well, to have a variety of voices, because, you know, tuning into one voice for a long period of time can be quite,
Each talking newspaper is different. But we took the decision not to have any one reader reading for more than about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Right? So we keep changing the subject and we keep changing the voice. And that keeps the interest level there. Because a lot of our listeners, they're elderly, they've got their sight impaired, but a lot of them have other problems. And you need to keep that interest there. But it works.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
And if so, do they come in and record in a studio?
Yeah, well, we use the parish office from one of the local churches. But we've been there about 35 years and they can't get rid of us.
That's so good. Is your audience growing, would you say?
It's growing again now. During the pandemic, we lost 172 listeners and we gained none. Now, blind people are vulnerable, so their names and addresses are protected.
Right.
And so what happens is there are rehabilitation officers for the blind and there are people in most hospitals that have got a sight unit. So they know who these people are. We give them a copy of what we do and they can actually say, are you interested in this? And then they send us their details. So during the pandemic, All home visits were knocked on the head, so the rehabilitation officers for the blind were routed to other jobs. They've only just started to reinstate them. So now that they are, we're getting new listeners. We've had 6 so far this month. We had 8 last month. So under normal circumstances, in the country right now, there are 300 people a day losing their eyesight. The vast majority of that is down to diabetes.
Gosh.
And a lot of that is preventable if people change their lifestyle. But the number had been going down as science improved and so forth. And then suddenly it started to go up again because of diabetes. So this talking newspaper service around the country is vital to a growing number of people and must be maintained at whatever cost.
Yeah. So that's a challenge in and of itself to the people out there.
Yeah.
But there's a very specific challenge that you've got right at the moment. Am I right in talking news?
Yes.
Can you tell me a bit about that?
There was only one supplier of the media players that we give to the blind, which are small boxes which can be held in one hand because a lot of people use walking sticks as well. So you want them to be able to use this portably if necessary. It had been designed specifically for the blind so that the buttons on it were quite large and they could find them just by feeling and know exactly where everything was. That supplier went out of business about 4 or 5 months ago and has left us all in the lurch.
Right. Right across the country.
Every talking newspaper is now cut off from this supply. So it's a urgent job now to find an alternative supplier. We've been out and bought examples of just about every product that's on the market now that will play USB sticks. And the controls are so small. I bought a Roberts radio, which was brilliant sound and quality and so forth. But the on-off switch was so small, I struggled to find it. A blind person just wouldn't find it. So we've got to find somebody that will put the inside into a different case. And if they do that, they've got a huge captive market.
Wow. I mean, that's amazing. So, because it has to be bold and big enough for it to be tactile enough and visual to help. Yeah.
They will get dropped occasionally, so they need to be fairly sturdy. A rechargeable battery so that they don't have to keep them plugged in. We talk to every one of our listeners, and I know more than one that takes them to bed and puts it on the pillow and goes to sleep listening to the talking news.
Yeah. So, yeah, I know, I can imagine.
Yeah. So that's the big challenge now facing us all.
Yeah, so right across the country, we need to find somebody that can manufacture this quite specific USB player.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. That's a challenge.
It's nice to have something to do, isn't it?
Oh, thank you so much, John. That's absolutely fascinating to hear about this and to hear how countrywide it is. That's just incredible.
You're very welcome. And thank you for listening.
A pleasure. Thank you so much, John. Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you feel you could help with a challenge John mentioned in this podcast, please contact him at www.litchfieldtalkingnews.co.uk. And that is all we have time for on this month's podcast. Don't forget, you can also listen to past editions of the Step Forward and Volunteer podcast anytime via www.lionsclubs.co or on Spotify, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, or Google Podcasts. Thanks once again to our special guests, Fiona Riley and John May, for talking to us about understanding the needs of their communities whilst delivering an effective community service that makes such a difference. And a big thank you to you, our listeners, as well. Take care and goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Step Forward and Volunteer. If you want to get involved in local community volunteering, visit www.lionsclubs.co to learn more.